Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of What You Think Doesn't Matter. This week, I'm going to kind of pay special homage to my friends that work in the 911 call centers or dispatchers. They do a lot of work behind the scenes that a lot of general public doesn't know about. So today, I'm going to spend a little bit of time kind of going over the history of the 911 system, talk a little bit about when to call 911, when not to call 911, maybe pass on a few humorous stories about what some of the 911 dispatchers go through, and I'll kind of go into detail about some of the training that 911 dispatchers have to undertake before becoming certified. It's not as easy as just answering a phone call and sending help to somebody. There's actually a lot of stress involved, a lot of training involved, and other than being a street cop, they're receive pretty much the same type of training when it comes to dealing with the public. Okay, so without further ado, let's get started. Many of you may or may not know that up until probably the mid to late 1980s, 911 was not readily available to everybody in the country. It was only available in major metropolitan areas or city or towns where the population is greater than a certain volume. Rural areas or areas in larger states out in the country still had to rely on the 7-digit phone number to the local fire department, police, you know, or police department. So, but it wasn't until the mid-late 80s, early 90s, where 911 actually became a nationwide number and eventually becoming an international number. But it's just that they still maintain a non-emergency number, which is usually the sheriff's department or police department's direct line, which a lot of people seem to confuse emergency with non-emergency, and they think 911 is the universal call-all number if you need to talk to somebody in the police department or whatnot. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But 911, the actual system in and of itself, really hasn't been around a whole lot or a very long time. In the United States, the first catalyst for a nationwide emergency telephone number was in 1957, when the National Association of Fire Chiefs recommended use of a single number for reporting fires. So, and then in 1967, the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice recommended that a single number be established nationwide to report emergency situations. You know, and so the use of different telephone numbers for each type of agency was determined to be contrary to the need for 911. So basically somebody in their infinite wisdom decided that, you know, it's kind of counterproductive when people have to dial a 10-digit number to reach different places when they can just dial a 3-digit number to hit one person who can then forward your call or route your call to the service you need. It's like a lot of times when you call 911 today, they'll ask you what the nature of your emergency is. And then once you describe what your situation is, they know who to send your call to, whether it be to fire, police, or EMS. Okay. But like I said, the whole concept wasn't really firmly established and pursued upon until, you know, the late 50s. And believe it or not, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, otherwise known as AT&T, came up with the means of establishing a 911 system in 1967. So in 1968, AT&T established and announced that it would create the 911 system throughout the country. And the reason for using 911 was actually specific, is because the numbers 911 weren't actually designated or assigned to any zip code, area code, or any other type of telephone number. And it also was easier to remember. So that 911 came out because of its simplicity, and that's why those numbers were actually chosen. So to make getting a hold of emergency services faster, easier, and to get help in the quickest amount of time as possible. And then after that was established, then came out what's called Enhanced 911. Enhanced 911 basically is 911 that's able to determine what phone number you're coming from, and in many cases, your location when it comes to using a landline phone. Cell phone technology and determining location is not pinpoint yet. Right now, it's still kind of a triangulation of which cell towers you're bouncing off of and then get a general location. But the system is getting better, and it utilizes a GPS system. So it doesn't provide pinpoint accuracy into location, but it does give a general idea of where you're at. And that's why dispatchers always ask you right off the top, what's the nature of your emergency and where are you? Where do we need to send help to? And that's basically the enhanced 911 system. And it's always getting better. It's regularly getting better. But back to the history here. February 68, Senator Rankin Fite completed the first 911 call in Alabama. You know, the telephone company used for that was the Alabama Telephone Company. Imagine that. So, and that system is still being used today. Okay, 68, Nome, Alaska implemented 911 system. In 1973, the White House's Office of Telecommunications issued a national policy recognizing the benefits of 911 and encouraged the nationwide adoption of it. So, and today, just about in probably high 90s, by about 95% of the country now is on some form of 911 system. So, and even Canada adopted the 911 system, thereby making 911 an international number. So other countries across the Atlantic obviously may have their own systems and their own numbers to call, but they essentially have the same concept. Now, when it comes down to determining when you should call 911 and when you can just call the administration number, it's really truly based on your situation. 911 was designed specifically for emergencies, and the basic definition of emergency is something that pertains to life, limb, or eyesight. That's how we used to say it as a medic in the Army. Life, limb, or eyesight determines that it's an emergency, and if it doesn't, situation does not qualify in any of those, then it's not a real emergency and you should just call the administration number. But every situation is different. And so don't take what I say for granted. If you honestly feel your situation is emergency, please call 911. Call them. Get help to you when you need it. Okay. Some things that you should not call 911 for would be just for general information. You don't want to call them and ask them for what time it is. Believe it or not, that has happened. You don't need to call them for directory assistance. Hey, I need the number to, you know, Bob's Big Boy down the street. No, you don't want to call them for that. Just out of sheer boredom, you're looking for someone to talk to. If you need someone to talk to, call the Crisis Care Center, not 911. Okay. You don't need to call 911 to pay for your traffic tickets or any court fees or fines. They're not equipped to take your money or your information. They're only there to send you help when you need it now. You don't need to call 911 for your pets. Of course, if your pet is in an emergency situation, then yes, call 911 for help. But just for a general lost pet or whatever, that's not a 911 call. As much as I love animals, and I have, you know, several of my own, and they're my kids as far as I'm concerned. To me, it is an emergency, but at the same time, I'm also level-headed to know that calling 911 because my dog won't stop throwing up is not an emergency. Okay, and you never, ever want to call 911 as a prank, because in most cases, calling 911 as a prank is a crime. You can be issued a citation for that. Because when you do that, or if you call 911 for all those aforementioned items, you could potentially be delaying the true emergency services of somebody else in dire need. Just think about that, okay? So rule of thumb is, if it's not life, limb, or eyesight, then it's probably not an emergency, and you can either take your lazy ass to the hospital yourself, or you can call the direct number, 10-digit telephone number, which if it's after hours, good luck with that. But please do not abuse the 911 system, okay? That's not what it was designed for. If you have a true emergency, call them. Get help there as fast as you can. And that's one way, you know, even though the dispatchers, the professional ones, will not sound annoyed or irritated or anything like that, trust me, they do get pissed off when you call 911 and it's not a true emergency. Now, if you do make a 911 call and it was a mistake, it was an accident, your cell phone accidentally dials 911, I know mine has done that on several occasions, don't just hang up. Because they will call you back. They're going to required to call back a hang up to find out and make sure if everything's okay. Just tell them, stay on the line, tell them, say, hey, I'm sorry, my cell phone accidentally dialed you. It's not an emergency. Everything's cool. They may ask you a couple of questions to verify that you're fine. But whatever you do, if you accidentally call 911 and it was an honest mistake, don't just hang up, because they will try and call you back. If you're calling from a landline and you call 911 and hang up and they call you back and they don't answer the phone, they will send somebody out to check on you, period. Most agency policies are required to send a patrol officer out to verify that the 911 call was in fact a mistake and that nobody's in trouble. And if it turns out that it was a mistake and no one's in trouble, guess what? You just took that officer out of service to respond to a potential legitimate service in which somebody could have died because that officer was too busy verifying whether or not you needed that service or not. So be mindful. 911 is not a toy. It's not a joke. It's for serious business. Trust me, it's not fun, especially when you have to explain to the cops that you're just, you know, I'm just playing. I'm done here. I just wanted to see what would happen. Especially in recent worlds where people are actually calling 911, have cops dispatch their location and setting them up for ambush and attacking the officers. That's just not cool. All right. So 911 is a serious game. It's not a joke. It's not a toy. So if you don't need 911 and it's not a real emergency, please do not call 911 unless you have to. Because be mindful, you know what, these 911 dispatchers, these call centers, and these operators, they're going through the same amount of stress as the cops do, if not more, because they're listening to all the action on the street through a headset or an earbud, and the officers are living it, and they can't do anything to help, and they want to help. They want to be out there, they want to help, but they can't because they need to stay there at the call center to take the calls, to provide advice, to give help, verbally, get other units to that officer's aid if needed. So to think that all the dispatcher do is answer phones all day long, well, you're strongly mistaken. It goes a lot deeper than that. There is a lot more to being a 911 dispatcher than just fielding phone calls and sending help to you right away. In one single call, there's a lot of things going on that people who have never been exposed to the system truly don't understand what's going on. For example, when someone calls 911, the dispatcher answers the phone. Not only do they need to figure out what your emergency is and where to forward your call to, but they need to know where you're at. They need to know the details. What exactly happened? Is the person breathing? Is the person bleeding? What happened to this person? Do you know what happened to this person? If it was an assault, can you identify the person who did it? They need as much detail and as much information as you can provide. And the whole time, they have to be professional and calming in their voice, in their own demeanor, to calm the caller down so that they can get that information, while at the same time, they're typing that information into the keyboard to send it out to the officer or EMS, whichever one is needed, so that they can come to your help while at the same time having the information they need to be safe and productive when they get there. Okay. And while they're doing that, they're also talking to the responding officers on their radios. Okay. So they've literally, not just with that one caller, but they've got communications coming at them from all angles. They got to answer the officer's questions. They got to answer the caller's questions. They got to make sure that they're getting the right information to the officer. Okay. And at the same time, they're keeping dedicated they're entering information into the computer system so that there is a documented record of what's going on. Okay. All 911 calls are recorded. Okay. For future use. Some of it is open to public records. Others may not, depending on the situation and the investigation and interagency policies related to public information and release of 911 tapes. But calls are monitored. They are recorded. And all of this information has to be processed at the same time, along with a million other things going on, for one single caller. Okay. So keep in mind, when you call 911 and you're asking for help, it's important for you as the caller to stay calm, cool, and collective, and cooperate with the dispatcher and providing them the information that they need. Because contrary to popular belief, they're not clairvoyant and they can't read minds and they just can't pop up and look and see on their computer screen where you're calling from and what you need. No, they need you to help them help you, so to speak. All right. So we got to get the people out there, get them to the right location, get them to the right address so that they can help you. Oh, and on a side note, when dealing with emergency responses, whether it be police, fire, EMS, for those of you that live in houses, please, for the love of God, make sure your house number is in a visible manner on the outside of your house or your residence so that when the responding people know where they're going, they know what house they're going to. I can't tell you how many times I'd be dispatched to an address. I can't find the house because the house I'm looking for is A, dark. There's no exterior lighting, or B, there's no numbers on the house. Okay. Not having those two little bitty features, number and lighting, can impact how fast help gets to you in your time of need. So please make sure you got adequate lighting. Make sure you got numbers on your house. And for least of all, make sure you're giving them the right address and where you're going. Okay. So that's a couple of other things that y'all need, that people need to take care of. So in addition to just having a calm, cool, collective demeanor about them, dispatchers actually have to go through a lot of training to be able to help you over the phone. Something like knowing how to tell somebody over the phone how to perform CPR. That's real big. They got to know that. So essentially, dispatchers are like street cops, only they're in most agencies, they're in a non-sworn capacity working behind the scenes, but they do have to have knowledge of the laws. They need to have geographic knowledge of where you're at. Granted, most systems nowadays have, most cars have GPS systems in it where the dispatcher can automatically shoot the address to their mobile data terminals and it pops up a navigation system that takes them right there. But the dispatchers still need to know where they are sending the help to. They need to know the location of where they're going. They need to have excellent people skills. They know how to talk to people. They have to know how to de-escalate a situation. So, as I've repeatedly said, it takes a hell of a lot more than knowing how to answer a telephone, to be a dispatcher. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of stress. Dispatchers go through the same amount of stress as the cops or EMS does, if not on a greater scale, because they're trapped in a situation where they can hear everything that's going on, but they physically can't do anything to help other than talk to them and walk them through it, or maybe just offer soothing voice in the time of need. So in my opinion, I think dispatchers actually have a more stressful job than the officer on the street does. Because if that officer on the street is involved in a situation where he needs help right away, all that dispatcher can do is send help and then sit back and wait for the results. And I don't know anybody who's ever been through that, but I can tell you right now, that is not a cool feeling to have. In fact, that's probably one of the most worthless feelings to go through, knowing that this person needs help, knowing that you know what they need to get that help, but also knowing that there's nothing you can do to get there to help them other than to send somebody else. To give you kind of a prime example of what I'm talking about, back when I was going through the police academy, what feels like 100 years ago, we were going through traffic investigations. A state trooper comes into the classroom. Before he even introduces himself, even talks about the subject matter or anything, the first thing he does is he puts a 911 tape, or correction, not a 911 tape, a communication between a trooper and a call taker, in which the trooper had effected a traffic stop. I don't remember what the cause of the stop was, but anyhow, make a long story short, the officer gets involved in a shooting in which he is struck outside of the boundaries of his vest. And while he is on the mic talking to the dispatcher, he says his last words and takes his last breath while talking to the dispatcher. I can't even imagine what that dispatcher was feeling or going through. But I can probably be safe in saying that that dispatcher most likely experienced some form of PTSD as a result of that experience. So you got to remember, the officers that are on the street, it's not just them going through that situation. It's everybody involved, from the call taker all the way up to the responding officers and all the support staff that are there responding as well. So being a dispatcher is not easy. My heart goes out to dispatchers. When I was a cop, one of the first things I learned as a cop is the dispatcher is your best friend. Because let me tell you, if you piss off the dispatcher, especially if you're a rookie, you are going to get the shittiest calls all night long, and they are going to do everything they can to tie your ass down in paperwork. So do me a favor, all you rookie cops out there, be nice to your dispatchers. Okay. Make friends, make amends, get on their good side, buy them roses, coffee, candy, whatever makes them happy. But whatever you do, do not piss off your dispatcher, because they can make your shift miserable. I know, I've seen it. And as a prank, I was actually one of the unfortunate victims of it, but, that's just the hazing process for a new cop. Y'all go through it. So I can relate, but, with that being said, we are all out of time for this week's episode of What You Think Doesn't Matter. But once again, guys, if you do know a dispatcher out there, give them a pat on the back, give them a thank you. They are truly the unsung heroes of the emergency world, the first responder world, and they do deserve the support. Because I know when I talk to dispatchers pretty much every day, I thank them, and I haven't, if I have not thanked them recently, I will thank them now. Thank you for everything that y'all do. Please keep up the fight and keep the officers safe out there. All right, if y'all want to get a hold of me, you can send me an email at wytdm@yahoo.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to my other episodes anywhere you can get your podcast or your favorite streaming service. Give us a listen, give us a like, and share us with everybody you know. Appreciate the support. So until next time, everybody, remember, be good, be safe, and what you think doesn't matter.